The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the Lord. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore the house of Eli. The guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the door to the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide it from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear, and then he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. This is the word of God.
Yes, well, it worked that everyone had a wonderful Christmas, and wonderful, I certainly like being back here. It certainly does feel like I'm back home to this place and to be with you, this church. And so it's wonderful that we can come back together again. Travis said, so thank you, Travis, for welcoming everyone back. Now, you've made some New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you made those. I don't bother with making New Year's resolutions anymore, but if you have, you've probably given up by now. Right, we're only 3 weeks in, or just about ready to give up those promises that you made. Well, when you think about New Year's resolutions, I'll just think about this. You know, what they're all about is trying to give up old bad habits. You know, and I think it's a lesson in this, isn't it? How often it's so well known that you just give up trying to do your New Year's resolutions. And I think there is a very good lesson in this, which is just telling us that, you know, it is actually really hard to change any of our behaviours, even if it is just to exercise a little bit more or to change our diet to be a little bit better. But You know, but as we come to a new year, it's important that we reset, that we look again at how we're living together as Christians. And so let's just keep that in mind as we begin this new year. Because every new year has new possibilities. Every year has new possibilities. And so this year, I would like to begin by asking you this question. Will you respond to God's call? This year, will you respond to God's call? So the next few weeks, and leading up to Lent, we're going to be looking at God's call. When I was 11 years old, I was sitting in a large marquee tent, something like you might see set up for an outdoor wedding. And there was a Christian speaker who was giving a talk. I don't remember what the speaker was talking about, but what I do remember, as I sat there listening to the speaker give his message, all of a sudden, I had this deep knowledge within me. It wasn't a voice, but it was like a voice had spoken to my spirit saying, "You are going to do this." It was accompanied by a peace and a sense of warmth and excitement. I was going to be a Christian speaker. But how would I describe this event to others? There were two speakers at this Cape May convention. And I had already formed something of a friendship with the other speaker because he had stayed with us and our family for a few days before the convention began. So I asked him if we could have a chat. And so we did. And I remember saying, I hope that you're not upset, or something along those lines. Because, you know, I thought maybe he'd be a little bit upset that this happened during the other speaker's talk and not his talk, that his talk wasn't good enough for this to happen while he was speaking. So I said, I hope you're not upset, but while Gail, the other speaker, was talking, it was like God called me, saying, "You're going to be doing this." Of course, he was not upset, but he was very pleased to hear this. And so he encouraged me to tell my mum and my dad, which I then did. And I made sure that I remembered the event. The best way that I could come up to describe the event in my own words as an 11-year-old was it just felt like I'd been told. I couldn't really come up with any other word to describe this. And maybe I had heard this, in Sunday school lessons or as listening to the Bible. But when I tried to think of what word I would use, this is the word I used to describe it. But it's interesting that this is also the way in which this event, this happy event, is taught in the Bible. A calling, as if there is something that God is asking of you, calling you, drawing you into. In our Bible reading this morning, we hear the story of Samuel being called by God. In Samuel's case, he literally heard God calling out to him. In 1 Samuel 3 verse 4, we hear these words, "Then the Lord called to Samuel and said," the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But we know that Eli had not called out to Samuel. So after this happened three times, Eli had realized what was going on. And so he told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So as Samuel laid down in the Ark of the Covenant, as he had done before, we're told that the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, to really understand this event, we have to go to the stories recorded in 1 Samuel before us. Eli is the high priest of Israel. He is the descendant of Levi, one of the children of Jacob, and Levi and his descendants were chosen out of all the tribes to be priests, to serve God as priests. Instead of getting an allotment of land, God would be their possession. Levi's descendants had a special role to play. They were chosen to be the closest of God's people to God, to live and to serve God, mediating between God and the rest of his people. But Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had become corrupt. They extorted people, slept with girl servants who were serving God as well. So God was going to get rid of them and strip them and their descendants of their power and promise to raise up a priest whose heart was after God's heart and who would speak God's word. Meanwhile, there was a descendant of Joseph and his son Ephraim called Elkanah. He had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And Peninnah made fun of Hannah because of this. So Hannah, in her grief, was praying one time when they went up to the temple once a year, the tabernacle at Shiloh. And she made a vow to God that if he gave her a son, she would dedicate that son to serving God. Eli heard her praying, originally thinking she was drunk, he chastised her. But when she told him that it was grief, he blessed her, saying, "Go in peace. May God grant you what you have asked him for." Hannah gave birth to a son and called him Samuel. And as soon as Samuel was weaned, we're told Hannah took him to the temple and gave him to Eli to look after, so that Samuel could serve God. Samuel is the one God promised he would raise up to lead Israel as a priest in the place of Eli's son. In our call to worship, we read part of Psalm 139. In that we read how God is the one who knits us together in our mother's womb. And how before we take a breath, God knows who we are intimately. Isn't that amazing? How God pulled out of the womb of a barren woman the one he needs. Just like Isaac, in a world without God's intervention, Samuel would never have been born. But God promises a priest after his heart, and he calls forth one from a woman who is crying out to God because she cannot have children. I'm guessing that God could have found someone else in Israel who had been born, who could possibly become this priest. We don't know. But this is the way God chose to fulfill his promise. By blessing a woman who couldn't have children, he calls forth a person with the character to faithfully serve him, a person who will respond to his call, a person who will say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Unlike the sons of Eli, who spurned the calling God had placed upon them. So I ask you this question, just to think about. What is so special about Samuel? so special about stamina? And I would say nothing. Except that when God calls him, he would respond with a willingness to serve God humbly and faithfully and in line with that calling. That's what's special about Samuel. And I don't believe anything else is special about Samuel except that. Or more special about anyone else except that. I mean, he's got a pretty awesome story. Right? He has got a pretty awesome story. But I don't think that that means that there is anything special about Samuel personally that makes him super special. Samuel may have been brought from the womb of a barren woman and knit together in secret . But the miracle of being knit together in our mother's womb is one that we all share. God fashions us in those moments to serve him, just as he fashioned Samuel. So yes, Samuel, a descendant of Ephraim, may have been called by God to take on the privilege and responsibility of the priestly role, which was meant to be fulfilled by Hophni and Phinehas, descendants of Levi. He calls Samuel. And in so doing, Samuel will be a blessing to God's people. Because of the calling that Samuel responds to. But we are all called by God to take on the privilege and the responsibility of ministering to others in some way, shape, or form. Yes, the true thing that makes Samuel special is something that can make us all special. A humble willingness to serve God, which God uses to accomplish his purposes and plans. So the question for each one of us, just as it was for Samuel, is how do you respond when God calls you? In my second year here, we call for more elders because we only had one when I arrived. And in our first elders meeting together, I asked them, do you know that you have been called by God to be an elder? And I also asked them, what has God called you to do as an elder? If I remember correctly, I think most of the elders have never thought of it in terms of being called. As if they've been called to be an elder. They've responded to a need, maybe, to serve God, but a call from God. But I told them, you have been called into this ministry. For we are all called. We are all called into the ministries we are given. And slowly they began, I think, to accept this framing, as we discussed a bit. And each one of them identified something unique which they could see they were called to bring to the group of elders. Although there were some common things people identified, there were also other things that people said, that's not my calling. And there were some things which they said, this is my calling. But each person articulated an individual calling that was unique to them. It was a wonderful experience. So here is the truth. It's not just me. It's not just Samuel. It's not just the elders who have a calling from God. You might not have an amazing experience of that, of what Samuel, but every Christian has a calling from God. And no two people will have the exact same calling. God has a privilege and a responsibility for you to take on a ministry you can take on so that you can be a blessing to other people, and in particular to be a blessing to God's people. So you may not have that, had that dramatic calling into a particular ministry, but God had plans for you before you were born. And if He has plans for you before you were born, and since God doesn't force us, His will upon us, He beckons us to walk in those plans. Because He has a plan for you before you were born, He beckons you forth into to walk in those plans. See, you have a calling from God. You are wonderfully made by God. You have a purpose from God. No one is an accident to God. Everyone is created by Him, and He has a calling for you to fulfill. So as we start a new year, with all its blessings and issues to come, the only real question for us this morning is, how will you respond to God's calling? Will you respond as Samuel did and say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening? Amen.